Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Reformation of the Church, which we celebrate today, was just that, a reformation. Not the beginning of something new, but the preservation of something old. Of the church that was built on the rock of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. The church that Christ had been building for some 1,500 years upon himself, or if you will, for some 5,500 years, since the first promise was made to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden that a Savior would one day come to crush the head of the ancient serpent. It was that church that had remained faithful through the centuries, even though it faced unimaginable persecutions. It was the church that had fought and won one battle after another against heresies of all kinds by the grace of God. The church that had established some wonderful edifying traditions that Christians had been observing for hundreds and hundreds of years. But by the 16th century after Christ, the time of Martin Luther, any number of serious, deep-seated corruptions had infiltrated the church's doctrine and practice, obscuring the eternal gospel. But as St. John saw in his vision, in the revelation, as you heard it in today's epistle, the eternal gospel would not be silenced. I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the eternal gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation and tribe and language and people. Now, in John's vision, filled with so many symbols, that flying angel to whom John refers here in the epistle was the same kind of angel to whom John sent the seven letters to the seven churches of Revelation in chapters 1 and 2, where he wrote every time to the angel of such and such a church. It wasn't one of those angelic spirits. They don't preach to the world. It was a human messenger, a human minister, or more likely it was symbolic of the office of the holy ministry in general, the duty Christ gave to his apostles and their successors to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, Martin Luther was at least one of those angels, those ministers who preached the gospel boldly and clearly in the world. And his dealings with the corrupted church of his day can be summarized with the angel's words in Revelation 14, "Fear God and give Him glory." Because all of the abuses that were going on in the church of his day were teaching people to do just the opposite of that. Now, what were the issues that Luther confronted in 1517 and beyond? Well, his famous 95 Theses focused primarily on the sale of indulgences, as you know. Documents issued by the Pope and sold to Christians throughout Europe that promised the full forgiveness of sins to the buyer, both for themselves and even for a person who had died and whose soul was thought to be suffering in torment in that place called purgatory, paying for the sins that Christ had supposedly failed to pay for. Luther's response was, "Fear God and give Him glory. Christ is the one who paid for all the sins of the world with His innocent death on the cross. He is the one who purchased salvation for us and who never sells it to anyone or hands it out piecemeal, but gives it away freely to everyone who believes in Him. Stop trusting in your money or in the Pope to save you. Fear God. Trust in God. Related to that was Rome's distorted teaching about grace and good works. The Roman Church had begun to teach that sinners are justified not by faith alone, but by the good works or the works of love that God's grace enabled them to do. Now, Luther knew that love and good works were important, were necessary for Christians, but not necessary for justification. Scripture clearly teaches that sinners are justified, made acceptable to God, only by faith in Christ Jesus, and that good works follow faith, not as a cause or as a reason for God to justify us, but as the necessary fruits of a living faith, the fruits produced by believing, forgiven children of God. And so his response was, fear God and give him glory. Stop trusting in yourselves and in your works. Stop preaching man and man's works. Preach Christ and him crucified. Preach justification by faith alone. Fear God. Related to that was the issue of the role of the Blessed Virgin Mary and of the other saints. Rome had been directing people to pray to Mary and to the saints for help in the day of trouble, and to trust in Mary and the saints to share their extra good works with Christians in order to help them along the way. But Luther, who loved and honored the saints and taught Christians to remember them and to imitate their faith and their life, warned Christians not to pray to them or to trust in them for help, because, as Scripture says, there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Stop turning to the saints for help. Stop pointing men to the saints. Fear God and give him glory. Another issue that Luther addressed was the Mass, specifically the canon of the Mass, those prayers for the intercession of the saints and the representing of the sacrifice of Christ on the altar by the priest, so that the sacrament of the altar became man's sacrifice to God, another good work on man's part for which faith wasn't even necessarily required, rather than the life-giving gift of God to us, in which he gives us the very body and blood of his Son, once for all sacrificed on Calvary's cross, and now truly present under bread and wine for the forgiveness of our sins. Luther said, fear God and give him glory. Stop trusting in human works and worship God by receiving from him the gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Fear God. Those were the main issues that Luther brought up with the church, together with the unscriptural authority that the Pope was claiming for himself as the head over all Christians. Where did all of those abuses come from? They all came from man, who either trusted in their own wisdom more than in God, or who sought glory for themselves rather than for God. Those abuses came from the insidious notion that popes and councils and man-made traditions in the church were somehow on equal footing with Holy Scripture, so that the Pope claimed for himself authority that God had never given to any man. And so Luther preached, fear God and give him glory. Stop trusting in popes and in princes and in the authority of man. Stand on Holy Scripture. Fear God. In every case, the Roman Church had transferred the glory that belonged to God to man. And the Lutheran answer was always, fear God and give him glory. Why? Because as the angel proclaimed, the hour of his judgment has come. Not the judgment of human courts. Luther answered before several human courts, before bishops and cardinals and popes and princes. And the Lutherans after him did the same and were judged by the world as dissenters and troublemakers and sectarians. They may have been afraid of those judgments. They certainly suffered because of them, but they didn't give in to fear, because they knew that His judgment, God's judgment, was coming, and that only faith in the true God who created all things, who sent His Son, who sends His Spirit, would help on that day. So they stood firm on the eternal gospel and made the good confession. This is what they subscribed to and wrote at the end of the Book of Concord. In the sight of God and of the entire Church of Christ, we want to testify to those now living and those who will come after us. This declaration, presented here about all the controverted articles mentioned and explained above, and no other, is our faith, doctrine, and confession. By God's grace, with intrepid hearts, we are willing to appear before the judgment seat of Christ with this confession and give an account of it. That's the intrepid spirit that needs to dwell in us still today. The faith to fear God and give Him glory, and the boldness, the courage, and the zeal to continue proclaiming that message to every nation, tribe, language, and people. Fear God and give Him glory, because things have not gotten better for the church or for the world over these last 500 years. They've only gotten worse. Now, it's easy to point out the errors of the Roman church. They're the exact same ones that were there 500 years ago, and they've added to them since. But listen to what Barna, the famous pollster, found in his polling of Protestant Christians. He says, American Christians are undergoing a post-Christian reformation. Unlike the Protestant Reformation, whose goal was to return to the foundational teachings of the Bible, this modern movement is one where Americans are redefining biblical beliefs according to secular values. Now, which secular values would those be? Well, what was it the angel cried out in John's vision? Worship Him who made heaven and earth and the sea and the springs of water. How many churches truly believe and teach even that anymore? That God made the heavens and the earth by the power of His almighty word. Instead, the churches, for the most part, join the world in denying the Creator and His word through the teaching of evolution. And they join the world in focusing on things like climate change, instead of preaching repentance and the forgiveness of sins in Christ. But I tell you, fear God and give Him glory. Believe His word and stand on it against all the pseudoscience of man. As Christians in quotation marks sometimes, have joined the world in denying the Creator and His creation, they also join the world in denying the most basic truths of the creation about man and woman and marriage and the family and children. Speak the truth about gender. Speak the truth about how God has reserved sexual relations for marriage. Speak the truth in love about abortion as murder and homosexuality as a grievous sin. And any number of churches will join the world in calling you hateful and in calling for your cancellation from society. But I tell you, fear God and give Him glory. Believe His word and stand on it against all the perversions of man. Now, if we, with the flying angel, call upon men to worship Him who made the heaven and the earth, proclaiming that there is only one true God who made the heaven and the earth, the God of the Bible, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and that every other god worshipped by men is an idol, including the idol of the human heart. The world rages in anger, and even Christian churches are hesitant to say such a thing out loud for fear of men. But I tell you, fear God and give Him glory. Believe His word and stand on it against all the idolatries of men. And speaking of idolatries, health can also become an idol. Over 7 months into COVID now, and the Archdiocese of Santa Fe has ordered all its churches to suspend Mass after today until further notice. You can be sure that other churches will follow suit as they did in the spring. And the government may again make it illegal for us to gather around word and sacrament, even as they have already made it illegal to sing or to worship God and encourage one another with uncovered faces. But I tell you, don't fear COVID. Fear God. Don't give glory to man's safety protocols and human wisdom. Give glory to God. Don't fear the government or the persecutions it may bring against you for any number of reasons. For that matter, don't fear your family or your possessions or your honor or your life. Fear God and give Him glory. This is what it means to stand in the spirit of the Reformation, to remain faithful to God's Word, to hold fast to its teaching, to believe what it says, to trust in the Lord Christ, to be diligent in prayer and in using the sacraments, to keep yourself clean from the hatred that surrounds you in the world, and to live a life of love in the midst of a loveless world. In short, it means to fear God and give Him glory. Celebrate the flight of the angel today. The ministry of Martin Luther and of all who have faithfully proclaimed, believed, and stood upon the eternal gospel even in these latter days. Fear God and give Him glory. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.